Welcome to this podcast brought to you by the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. And now our host, publisher John Pritchard.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning into this episode. I'm John Pritchard, publisher of the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. Today, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Brad Baker, president of MTI, and to discuss all things ADA compliance. We get into some interesting conversations surrounding the nurse and caregiver experience, tax benefits associated with ADA compliant equipment, and how to promote an overall safer environment for both patients and staff. I think you guys will enjoy today's discussion. So let's jump in.
Welcome back to today's podcast. I'd like to welcome Brad Baker, President, Medical Technology Industries, to today's podcast. Brad, welcome.
Thanks, John, for having me. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, let's jump right in. What are the core ADA compliance issues?
Well, there's two main issues. It's the nurse and caregiver experience and the experience of the patient. The nursing profession has always had issues with injuries and burnout. We often refer to articles from Fit to Work and MMWR that illustrate that healthcare workers are seven times as likely to experience musculoskeletal disorders compared with other private sector workers, and that patient movement and transfers are the most significant contributor to these injuries. You know, nursing is one of the only professions that considers 100 pounds to be lightweight. Doctors and dentists, they usually don't see the injuries because they're usually not the ones moving the patients. So when it comes time to purchase new equipment, we hope that the nursing staff is consulted whether an ADA compliant exam chair would reduce the likelihood of injuries. The second is the disabled patient experience. So the core to ADA compliance issue is the individuals with disabilities often do not have proper access to medical and dental diagnostic equipment. You know, nurses end up physically transferring disabled patients, which also increases the likelihood of injuries to the patient. The real problems are that most exam and procedure chairs don't have a patient transfer surface that's low enough to accommodate a transfer from a wheelchair, or the proper transfer support or handrail to enable patients to transfer themselves.
Yeah, those are two fascinating topics. I would think even the stressful time of the last couple of years in a COVID environment have probably made both of those issues even more prevalent. How do you know these are the issues, Brad?
Well, having a reputation for innovation in medical and dental equipment since 1999, MTI was invited in 2010 to consult with the Federal Access Board, which is the body that was tasked with the responsibility to come up with the regulations, the ADA regulations. And over the course of several years and many trips to Washington, D.C., our CEO, Jeff Baker, and many of our other staff members listened to the voices of the most affected by the issue, the nurses and the disabled patients themselves. So once we understood what was needed to be done, you know, we went to work determining what could be done.
Interesting. What regulations were established? Give us a little more detail on that.
Well, there's quite a lot of regulations covered by ADA, but in particular to our kinds of products, chairs and tables, they established a regulation for what they call M301 chairs, which are chairs or tables that are in the lying down position. So these are mostly used in an OBGYN's office or a general practitioner's office. And an M302 style chair is a chair that's used in a seated position. These are chairs mostly used in podiatry, dermatology, otolaryngology, ophthalmology, oral surgery, and plastic surgery. So we pushed for a low entry height of 17 to 19 inches to accommodate patients transferring from a wheelchair. You know, the surface needs to be a certain size and dimension, and it needs to have a sturdy transfer support rail next to the transfer surface, not just an armrest. And the regulations go into a little more detail of how they have to measure the 17 to 19 inches in an uncompressed cushion state and the size of the transfer support and the how far it is from the seat. So there's a lot of details in the regulation that they came out with to enable patients with disabilities to be able to transfer themselves onto an examination surface.
Many healthcare providers looking to save money end up choosing low-quality exam room equipment. They often discover too late that purchasing commodity equipment may not have been the best option for caregivers or patients. That's why MTI manufactures the medical and dental industry's highest quality, technology-rich, ADA-compliant specialty healthcare equipment. Their focus on specialty equipment allows them to meet needs commodity producers cannot, reducing operating costs, increasing patient safety and caregiver safety, and improving clinical outcomes. Take advantage of their short 3 to 5 week lead times and the current fall promotion where end users can claim up to a $400 rebate on select MTI exam chairs and cabinets. MTI, specialized equipment for specialty healthcare.
What happens today when a practice or a clinic does not have an ADA compliant chair?
Well, practices are either forced to ask their staff to lift the patient up onto a higher exam surface, or they'll often perform the examination or procedure while the patient's right in their wheelchair, which is really illustrates why regulations were developed in the first place, so that Americans' disabled population could have access to medical and dental diagnostic equipment just like everybody else. So one of my very best friends has cerebral palsy and is in a wheelchair. And John, I want you to put yourself in a wheelchair in the mindset of a patient with disabilities. People in those situations, they want to be able to do everything they can for themselves. They don't want to have a nurse lift them up onto a table or multiple people lifting them up onto a table. They want to be able to transfer themselves onto that diagnostic or examination surface. And having an ADA compliant chair that's accessible allows them to do that.
You know, you spoke about your experience with the Access Board. How did that shape the design of your products as they are today?
Well, it really helped us see things from the perspective of a disabled person. We established design goals and applied for patents, and MTI's G2 chair line literally centers around ADA compliance and the caregiver and patient experience. We developed several design approaches and technologies that led to multiple patents that are standard in our products today. SmartTech and ComfortSync are examples of the patented approaches to how we were able to achieve an entry height below 19 inches. Even our swivel and mold-based chairs are below 19 inches and are ADA compliant. These innovations also improved other aspects of the patient experience to ensure the patient's never in an unsafe position and never feels like they're going to, you know, fall out of the chair.
So does an ADA compliant chair from MTI cost more than other chairs?
No, not at all. We went through a development process over many years and were able to develop a system that went low enough that goes high as our other products does and what the rest of the market does, or even higher in a lot of cases, as well as it lifts a lot of weight. It's a 725-pound rated patient rating on the chair. So going through this development process, we were aware that we did not want to make this product any more costly than a regular non-ADA compliant chair would be. So we really focused on process improvement, finding materials and suppliers that could make it cost effective for us. So we're able to come to market with a product that is compliant, that meets all the needs of the patient and the caregiver, and is also meets the needs of what the organization's needs are on what their spend needs to be.
Are there other benefits to purchasing ADA compliant equipment?
Yeah, there are quite a few other benefits. Beyond the patient caregiver safety benefits, there actually is a tax credit that can be taken in certain situations for products that are compliant with ADA regulations. They should always consult their tax advisor to ensure they qualify, but many practices that have 30 or fewer full-time employees can claim up to a $5,000 ADA tax credit, not a deduction, but an actual credit. And on top of that, they can take the accelerated depreciation section 179 deduction on the equipment, which drastically reduces their net spend on capital equipment. Now, there are many salespeople out there that will walk you through the tax implications and tell you how much you can deduct, but their product's not even compliant to the latest ADA regulations. So make sure that your tax advisor is consulted, that you're in compliance and eligible to take the tax incentives.
Interesting. What other innovations have come from your insights?
Well, after a few, you know, conversations with the nurse, you figure out really quickly that transferring patients is one of the you know, most awful and unpleasant things that they do. And you think about a nurse, they deal with a lot of unpleasant things. So that drove us to help develop products to eliminate the need for transfers in many surgical workflows. The current workflow for many surgical procedures is to sit a patient down in a pre-op chair and then transfer them onto a stretcher bed and wheel them into surgery. And once the surgery is over, they're transferred back onto the transfer surface and wheeled into recovery. So from a nurse's perspective, you can see how silly this is. And our 840 mobile stretcher bed is an ADA compliant pre-op surgery and recovery chair, all on one mobile battery powered surface. So the patient can come in, sit down in pre-op. They sit down in the upright chair. You can put them in a comfortable position for pre-op and perform that procedure, wheel them into recovery, perform the surgery in a flat position or contour position or even Trendelenburg, and wheel them back from surgery into recovery, all on the same surface. So there's zero transfers. The patient comes in, gets everything done, and when they're leaving, they're walking out the door, and they never left that surface. It also presents only one surface to sanitize, and that's a pretty big time saver in our world today with COVID sterilization protocols.
So how much does this 840 stretcher bed cost, and why would a practice or clinic purchase an 840 stretcher bed if they already have a standard stretcher bed?
Well, yes, the 840 is a little more costly than a standard stretcher bed, but it also replaces a pre-op and a recovery chair. Plus, it provides much better patient access for the surgeon. So if you can put yourself in the position of a surgeon trying to operate on roughly what's the size of a twin mattress, they're thick, they're wide, and they're large, getting access to the patient with our 840 ultra-thin backrest, contoured sides, easy patient access really helps a surgeon with strain on their body. But they also have to look at how much it costs when there's an injury to either the patient or the caregiver or both when they're moving that sedated patient, or possibly when a nurse quits because they're just tired of the constant transfers and strain that their body goes through. These types of uncaptured costs in the healthcare system need to be taken into account when making a decision about capital equipment.
Fascinating conversation today with Brad Baker, president of MTI. Interesting conversation on how ADA compliant equipment promotes patient and caregiver safety. Brad, thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thanks, John. And I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks at HMMC conference.
Thank you.
I'd like to take a second here and thank Brad Baker for joining us on today's episode. After participating in that discussion, it seems obvious that choosing ADA compliant equipment can benefit your organization across the board. To learn more, visit mti.net. I'm John Pritchard, publisher of the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. As always, thanks for tuning in.